Our first Bible reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and he went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join in." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom may I ask you? Does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Our second scripture reading is also taken from the New Testament, from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I shall read from the Samoan translation. Tus faitau o le nei tae au, o le evangelia Jesu Keriso na tu sia I Ioane, I lona mata aupo e sfulma lima, a matal faitau mai le fwai upu mua mua se ia whaangata I le fwai upu e valu. Whaafonga maia I a fionga pa ia alo tātou atua. O au nei o le vine moni, a o lo uta mā o le ngalue vine ia. O la umalava o ia te au e le fua e ave e seina e ia. A o la uma e fua e teu teu e ia, ina ia fua mai ai a tili. Ua uma o na whaamamaina o outou I le upu na outou tala atu ai I a te outou. I nā tu mauia o outou I a te au. O a ufoi I a te outou. Whapei o le lā e le mawhai o na fua pe a nā o ia. Pe a whai e le mau I le vine. E whapei a foi outou. Pe a whai tau te le tu mau I a te au. O a unei o le vine. O la outou. O le tū mau ia te au, ma au ia te ia, o ia lava e fua te le mai. A wae le mawhaia e outou, o na whai o se mea e tasi pe a au le iai. A whai e le tū mau se tasi ia te au. O na lafua ina lea o ia I tua pei o le la la au. Ma whaapopo ina, o na whaapotopoto ina I lea e tangata, ma lafo I le afi, ma susunu ai. A whai tau te tū mau I a te au, I a tū mau fo I a upu I a te outou. O mea umalava o te tau te mana na o I ai, tau te ole atu ai, o na whai a lava lea mo outou. E vi ia lo o ta mai le nei mea, pe a outou fua te le mai, o na whai ai lea outou mo soo. e whamanuia le atua ma e whamtala loto, le winga lo loto ana a fionga pa ia wa tuina mai a i tātou. E ia iate ia pealo na lava vi inga e whavavau, whavavau lava. Amene.
Let us pray. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The gospel reading this morning presents us with a very important message to reflect on. Jesus and his disciples had just shared the Last Supper at the upper room, where he humbly washed their feet and began to describe the events that will lead to his crucifixion. It is uncertain how much the disciples understood about what was about to take place, but Jesus proceeds to comfort them and prepare them for his coming death by emphasizing the theme of unity, obedience, and love. Jesus knew that he was about to leave his disciples, and he takes this time to prepare them for their mission in the period of his absence between resurrection and his return. He wanted to inform them how to remain in connection with God, how to remain connection with him, encourage them not to fall away. Tell them to continue in the love he had shown. Jesus was discussing his relationship to them as their source of life and as the one whose ministry would be continued through the Holy Spirit after his departure. But the disciples responded with worry, with sorrow. But Jesus was trying to reassure them, comfort them in the spirit that they're going to be departing each other. It is the reason why he uses an analogy of a vine and its branches to summarize these important lessons. In this passage, Jesus prepares his disciples for his time away from earth by challenging them, by reminding them to remain in him through obedience and love. God speaks much in this passage about abiding in him. That word appears 7 times in just these 8 verses. Abide in Hebrew means remain in, or to dwell in, or to continue in something. With respect to a grapevine, it will mean that the branch remains connected to the vine in such a way as it draws its essential life from that vine. And that is what Jesus is telling us about our relationship with himself in this passage. In order to enjoy a fulfilling, fruitful, joyful, and victorious Christian life, to enjoy the Christian life as Jesus means for us to enjoy it, we absolutely must remain connected to him in such a way as to draw our life and strength directly from him. We must connect with him regularly in prayer. Let our good deeds be the fruit of our faith. Knock down the walls and share our love to one another. Reading the Bible and allowing the Bible's words to make its home in our hearts and minds. We must be obedient to him and walk in obedience to his command. We must allow our roots to grow down deep into him and draw our daily nourishment for life from him in our personal relationship with him through love. Otherwise, we cannot, absolutely not, bear fruit for his glory. Jesus wants his disciples to know that there is a purpose in the Christian life. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, then the fruit of the Christian life is good deeds that flow from love, obedience, commitment, and discipline. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "For God himself is love, and we are called to imitate him, imitate his love." Ephesians 2, chapter 10, Paul says, "Our purpose is to do good deeds that he has prepared in advance for us to do." When Jesus spoke about the vineyard, people of Judea knew what he was talking about. It was an industry that has certainly culminated throughout the country for centuries. But there is something else. There is another important reason why Judea listens and consider the vineyard as an important aspect to their life. The vineyard was the symbol of Israel. Judea thought of their nation as a vineyard. It was a kind of a national identity. In the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as the vine or the vineyard of God. In Isaiah 5, Isaiah the prophet pictured Israel as the vineyard of God. He said, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." Even Jeremiah says, we read God's referring to his chosen people in this way, "I planted you as a choice vine." Even prophet Hosea speak a word of judgment when he said, "Israel has become an empty vine." In the Psalms we read that God compares Israel to a vine that come out of Egypt. That is why Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the vine. The fruit-bearing branches are the disciples." God the farmer, who is the one who cultivates the vine vineyard, he waters and tends the oil, the soil, so that the vine is properly nourished. He takes pride in his crop. God takes pride in his crop. But this means that he also prunes the vines and removes the dead wood. the grapes grow on new branches. No one likes the process of pruning and the pain of loss, but fruit grows only on new wood. Jesus emphasized that we receive our strength by staying connected to Jesus. He is the true vine. If any Christians break away from God, they will be like unproductive branches, bearing no fruit. Thus, they will have to be pruned out. Question is, how can you tell a pear tree? How can you tell an apple tree? How can you tell a Christian? Answer those three questions by their fruits. The fruit on the vine is not church attendance, coming to church every Sunday. The fruit on the vine is not how deep and how huge your biblical knowledge is, nor your individual stewardship. The true fruit of the vine is a loving and compassionate life. My challenge to you this morning comes down to this. How do you treat? How do you love? How do you serve other people? The first fruit that the Apostle Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 is love. Paul say that's the first fruit, love, then joy, then peace, then patience, then kindness, then goodness, then faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You and I cannot produce these traits on your own, because we are by nature too self-centered. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to imitate Jesus and thus have these character traits visible too and experienced by others. Jesus says to us this morning, I am the vine. You are my branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples, to be my followers, to be my people. So this means that the number one fruit of Christian, fruit of Christian, is to produce is love. Love is the principle, the paramount, the unique attribute of the people of God. The unique attribute of the Christians who believe in God. Nothing can dislodge nor replace it. Love is supreme. When love is on display, the result will be joy and peace. Joy and peace are byproducts of love. God gives them to us, not when we pursue them, but when we pursue Jesus and others in love. James wrote, show me your love, not with words, but with deeds. Whenever Christian people come together, it is impossible to stop them from singing. Singing is a result of joy. It is our responsibility to stay connected to Jesus through prayer, through worship, through meditating on the Bible. Jesus said, you must abide in me and my words in you. To stay connected, we need to listen. Listen to that voice. Listen to that calling. We must listen carefully when he speaks to you and me. The same voice why Philip left Samaria and walked down the desert road. Jesus' voice that Philip hears arise and go. Philip's ministry in Samaria was so fruitful. It was flourishing. It was a lot of people turn up to be baptized. But the voice says, Philip, stand up and go. Luke said in the passage or scripture that we read today, this morning, Philip never say anything. He just stand up and go. He believes that God and God alone will be his guidance. Luke tells us that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, called Philip to go down from Jerusalem towards Gaza. And Philip did. Philip obeyed. Philip arise and he walked down the desert road. Philip left all these people, successful ministry in Samaria, and go down to minister to this one person. One person. We might think that Philip should object to leaving the great success of the work in Samaria. But God had a plan for Philip. And Philip submitted to God's plan. And since Philip was committed to God's plan, God was guiding him every step of the way. Step by step. Step one, Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Sometimes, if we hear this kind of voices or call, we might think, oh, maybe that's the devil. Why should I live a successful life here and go to something not good? Future's uncertain. Or someone might think, oh, no thanks, not now, not me. Can I be called later? From man's perspective, it is a very foolish call. But it is a wise call if it is directed by God. Step two, while Philip was walking, he heard a voice again saying, Philip, can you approach that chariot? And he did. Philip was obeying that voice, that call, all the time, believing that he is connected to Jesus. While he was coming close to the chariot, he heard the man reading the Bible, book of Isaiah. John says, he is a eunuch from Ethiopia. He was no doubt was a dark skin, which is very vital here in that the gospel is now beginning to span ethnic groups, people groups. This man is properly wealthy and properly a God-fearer, which is the title given to those Gentiles who practice certain aspects of Hebrew worship. He is on his way to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. This eunuch is not a Jewish, but a Gentile Ethiopian. He is also unclean by the fact that he is a eunuch. Because according to those days, people of Ethiopia were the descendants of Ham and Nimrod, accursed people. Yet, in God's mercy, he sends Philip away from success, where thousands have been saved, to visit one single man, one thirsty soul that needs to be saved. Do you understand what you are reading? How can I, unless someone explains it to me? Luke says that after they spent that journey together, the eunuch was baptized. First, because he was connected to Christ by carrying his Bible all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, it's 5 months travel each way. And he carried that Bible 10 months from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and Jerusalem to Ethiopia. How many of us sometimes we forget where we put our Bible? Because it's been sitting on the shelves and the dust gonna take over. This Ethiopian man didn't. Why? Because he was trying to connect, stay connected to his Christ. The reason why God sent Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch is a message to you and me that God looks and searches the heart of everyone, every people, and his eyes are upon those who seek him and desire his holiness. God never despises the hungry and thirsty soul. This implies the one word that's described, Jesus' ministry, and that is love. Lord gives food to the hungry, shelter to the homeless, help to those who have lost homes, help to those who are involved in earthquake and floods. Love gives friendship to the lonely, comfort to those who are sad, like what Philip shared with the eunuch. It's ultimate love that he takes my place in the cross so that I can abide in him and him in me. The gospel reading this morning, Jesus introduced us to the great mystery of God sharing his life with us. I am the vine. You are the branches. My Father is the vine grower. sometimes I wonder. When I reflect on the Bible, I wonder. I wonder myself. But I give thanks. Because I'm not worthy of His grace and His love, that He take my place on the cross to save my soul. And I think this is why He said to me this morning, or tomorrow, abide in me, and I will abide in you. So that you can bear fruits. It is an invitation for all of us. Invitation from Jesus this morning. Let us abide in Him and Him in us. Let us share that love with one another. Let us obey and respect one another. Whether it's a multitude or a single person, let us open a door of love so that we can all worship under this one roof, one God, one faith. Let the Spirit be the guidance of our faith and our ministry. God, neither of us will stand alone without God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.